Welcome back to the program on Radio Islam International. And as we said in the beginning of the program, in the second segment, we will be joined by Muallima Abida Peer. Just to give you an insight as to who Muallima Abida Peer is, she is a counselor, mentor, teacher with extensive experience in the management and nurturing of marital and social relationships. She has developed and presented marital and premarital workshops throughout South Africa and in Pakistan. She has regular classes and workshops in marital and family issues in Cape Town, where she's currently living, and other cities in South Africa as well. And you'll find that she's been conducting counseling sessions with people in many countries, whether it be telephonically and through social media as well. So we do like to welcome her to the program. Assalamu alaikum, Muallima.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, jazakumullahu khairan for joining us on the program.
Alhamdulillah, it's my pleasure, Mawlana.
Yes. The topic that we speak about this morning and that has been chosen is that the marriage, the forgotten ibadah. So beginning and just to introduce the topic, why is marriage a forgotten ibadah?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, alhamdulillah, Mawlana, today if we look at the state of marriages, for example, and we see the large rate of divorce, and we see how many marriages are actually struggling. And so we have to, alhamdulillah, our deen has given us the solutions to all of life's problems. And so if we go back and we look at, you know, why things are happening, we have to go back and see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about marriage. He speaks about having created us in partners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the relationship between a man and a woman, that being a husband and a wife, and what that relationship is supposed to be. And we also know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, because He tells us in the Quran al-Kareem that Allah has not created jinn and man except for His worship, except for His ibadah, to know Allah and to worship Allah. So this is our purpose. It's our primary purpose for being in this world. But what happens is that throughout our life, and we get busy with everything, we tend to neglect that one aspect. And so when you know, people get married, they sometimes get married for the wrong reasons, because generally, and I'm not saying this is in all cases, but a young couple will get married for love. And when a couple get married for love, they are actually basing their relationship and that marriage on a false premise. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about the relationship between a man and a woman, love is something that comes after nikah. It comes after marriage, and it's something that is established, it's something that is built, it is something that a couple work together to bring about within a marriage and for each other. And so marriage is seen not as an ibadah. So what we have to do is we have to go back to our deen, essentially, and we have to look at the purpose of our life. And so if Allah says that the purpose of our life is to worship Him, and marriage is such an important aspect in our life, because we are told that when a person performs the nikah, then they are completing half of their deen. Now then, that shows us the importance of that relationship. So if that is so important, which means that nikah and the marital relationship is ibadah. But when we don't see it as that, when we don't see it as an act of ibadah, then we look at it from all other perspectives, and we then not able to deal with what happens within the marriage. Now, if we can just go back again to Allah's word, to the Quran Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah about marriage, wa min ayatihi, Allah says them from amongst His signs. Now subhanAllah, if Allah is telling us that from amongst the sign is that He created man and woman, right, as partners, so it's a sign of Allah, and that in itself should tell us how enormous and how important this relationship is. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his signs, he talks about the sun, he talks about the moon, he talks about night and day, he talks about the mountains. These are all signs of Allah. And now here Allah is telling us that this also is a sign of his. And so, if we look, for example, and if you just take the sun, the sun is a sign of Allah. Allah takes oath by the sun in the Quran. And so, but if you look at the sun, it's something which is always there. The sun never sets. It sets for us here, rising somewhere else. So the sun is something which is a constant. It's a sign of Allah. But if you see, there are days when the sun shines very bright and it's hot. There are other times in winter the sun is shining and it's a clear sky, but it's cold. Even though the sun is shining, but it's cold. Then there are days when it's cloudy and you can't even see the sun. You might have light clouds, you can't see the sun, it's still bright. Then there are days when the clouds are dark and heavy. It's daytime, but it's dark. The sun is not, the rays are not penetrating and you can't even see the sun. But the thing is that the sun is always there, it never goes away. But the conditions and the circumstances, the conditions change. The conditions of the sun that affect the sun, the heat and the shining of the sun, it's the conditions that changes. And our life is like that, marriage is like that. Because this is, if Allah says it's from amongst the signs, yes, it's so important, this relationship. But he's telling us that the signs and that there are conditions that will affect this relationship. So whatever goes on in our lives, and we have challenges, and we face difficulties, and we go through a lot of things within our lives and within our marital relationships. So what is it that we have to, like the sun, we have to understand that, yes, that there are things that will happen, there are conditions that will take place, there are incidents that will take place that's going to have its impact. But that the marital relationship itself needs to be stable. It's there. It is something which is a constant. And this is what Allah wants from us. And when we realize that, that this relationship being so important in the sight of Allah, and this relationship that Allah has given, it's a blessing, subhanAllah. If we look at human beings and the relationship that Allah has put in our lives, what a great blessing that is to us. And if we see this whole relationship process as ibadah, as worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can deal with any of the situations that we face in our lives. Whatever happens, whatever good comes, whatever happiness, whatever sadness, whatever heartache, whatever difficulty, but we will know that this is from Allah. This is where Allah wants me to be. This is what Allah wants for me right now. And whatever I'm doing within my marriage, whether I'm cooking, whether I'm cleaning, whether I'm feeding my baby, whether I'm changing a diaper, whether I'm cleaning the toilet, whatever it is that I'm doing, it's an act of ibadah, and Allah will reward me for that. And even though within the marriage I might be emotionally, sometimes women go through a lot of emotional trauma within a marriage. Sometimes the husbands don't treat them very well. Sometimes they go through a lot of difficulty within the marriage. But when the woman sees all of that as being a part of her ibadah, and she's doing it for Allah's pleasure, and she knows that her reward will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's easy for her, and she'll be able to manage the situations, and she'll be able to go through all of the difficulties that she goes through, knowing that she's never alone, that Allah is always with her, and that whatever she is going through, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward her for her difficulty and her hardship.
Yes, that is true indeed. That thinking that or having this in mind, that marriage is an ibadah. And you speak about the difficulty sometimes emotionally that women have to go through, the work that they do have to go through. So do you feel that a woman appreciated and valued?
Women are. I think they are. Generally they are. But I think, you know, it's man's nature. Some men, mashallah, they will express appreciation to their wives. But others not. And this, you see, it's a basic human need to feel appreciated and to feel valued. Both men and women want to feel valued and appreciated. But both men and women are also guilty of this, is that we don't always express that. We don't express, a man, for example, doesn't always tell his wife how much he values her and how much he appreciates what she does in the home. And vice versa, a woman also, she doesn't always value and appreciate and express that to her husband. His role, he goes out, he earns, he takes care of the family. And women don't show that appreciation. We don't tell our husbands how much we value and appreciate that. And yet this is a basic human need. But what happens is that with women, because of the nature of the work that they do, if I can use that word, right, within the home, you know, I see young mothers and I see how they struggle. They have to take care of the home. They have children to take care of them. They have to be pleasing to their husbands. They sometimes have in-laws issues that they have to deal with. It's a lot for them to do, right? And so, you know, they go through the processes day in and day out and day in and day out. And sometimes husband will even ask you, know, what do you do the whole day? But he doesn't realize that he comes home to a clean house, that he has freshly cooked food, that the children are taken care of. But he might ask the woman, you know, what do you do the whole day? So yes, there are, you know, instances where women feel unappreciated. They feel they're not valued. They feel, you know, taken for granted that I'm just here. I just have to do everything. Nobody values me. Nobody appreciates what I do. And this is why it is important for the woman to understand that whatever she's doing in the home, no matter how menial and how small a task or how huge a task might be within her home, but when she's doing it for Allah's pleasure, when she's doing it as an act of ibadah, with a consciousness, now this is again having the consciousness that I'm doing this, because we know, I think most women out there know that whatever you do within your marriage is ibadah. We've heard that somewhere along the line. But the thing is that we never internalize those words. And we don't live that. We don't live, you know, these concepts, we don't love it, and we tend to forget about it, and so we go through the drudgery of life, and we go through everything, and we see ourselves as not being appreciated. Nobody cares, nobody values me, nobody will even tell me jazakallah or thank you for what you've done. We feel that we get no thanks. But when we see it in the perspective of being an act of ibadah, then we won't have the expectation of being thanked by another person. Because you see, then our expectation is so high. We want to be valued and we want to be thanked, because that's basic human need. But we're not always going to get that. So even when we don't get it, it's okay to realize that it's fine if my family doesn't appreciate what I'm doing, or if they're not expressing their appreciation for me, but I know that when I do something, that my Allah is going to reward me for this. I am doing it for Allah's pleasure, first of all. This is why I'm doing it. This is why I cook. This is why I clean. This is why I take care of my family's needs, because I'm doing it essentially for Allah's pleasure. And if I'm doing it for Allah, whether they thank me or they don't thank me, it's okay, because my reward lies with Allah. Because nothing goes unrewarded by Allah. With Allah, nothing is for nothing. You don't do anything and you don't go through any heartache or hurt or do any kind of work, physically or emotionally, whatever we do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not seeing that, what you are doing, and that He won't reward you for what you are going through. So if we have this mindset and we understand why we are doing things, and we can do it happily then for Allah's pleasure, to please Allah, because if Allah is pleased with you, then your husband is pleased with you. And if we have the understanding that whatever it is I am doing, my Allah is going to reward me for this. I might not see the rewards even in the dunya, but definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever I'm going through, and sometimes women go through really horrific emotional trauma, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raising that woman's status He is raising her status, and her reward she will get in the Akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a high place for her in Jannah. So if our sisters, if my sisters out there, if we can just understand, you know, what this marital relationship is about, that Allah has placed us in this situation. He has blessed us with a husband. Sometimes the husbands are good, sometimes they're not so good. But even that is a blessing from Allah. And we as women, we can earn our Jannah through our husbands. We can earn our Jannah through our children. We can earn our Jannah through even our mother-in-law, who might be difficult, who might treat us not very well. But these are all opportunities that we have in life. And the important thing is that we know how to deal with them, how to deal with a husband, how to deal with situations, how to deal with extended family situations, and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward whatever it is we are going through in this world.
Yes, Mu'allima, you speak about it being an ibadah. So how does the wife go about fulfilling this ibadah?
Hello?
Yes, Malima, are you still there?
I think we just got...
Okay.
I didn't hear.
I say that, how does the wife fulfill this ibadah?
The first thing, Mulana, is that we know that there is a hadith of our beloved Prophet from where we are told that every action is judged according to its intention. So it all starts with intention. It all starts with the niyyah. For example, if you look at a couple and their nikah is performed, we can very well ask, what was the niyyah? When you as a woman, you accepted that proposal to get married, with what niyyah did you get married? With what niyyah did you go into this relationship? Now, many times, the niyyah is not about fulfilling Allah's hukam. And the niyyah is not to fulfill half of our deen. But we have, you know, many other ideals about marriage. So we have to go right back to our niyyah. And we have to, even if we did make the niyyah, is to renew and to refresh this niyyah all of the time. That we are in this relationship and we are in this marriage and we have been placed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a husband, with children, with family. And that we are here for Allah's pleasure. And we are here to fulfill our purpose, in life. Because we have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we start off, and if this is the starting point, is making that niyyah, renewing the niyyah, that I am doing this, I am in this marriage, I am going through whatever, and I am doing for my family, I'm doing for my children, I'm doing even for extended, whatever it is I'm doing, that I'm doing it for Allah's pleasure. And it's about developing your and strengthening your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that has to be the foundation of our marriage. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be the foundation of the marriage. When the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strong, then we are able to deal with anything that comes our way. When the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak, that is when we have difficulty in dealing with the issues and in dealing with the people that we have to deal with. Now, if we see every single person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts into our life is put there for a reason. Whether it is your husband, your children, your in-laws, your own parents, your siblings, whoever you interact with in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that person into your life. And that person is in your life for a reason. Now, if our purpose in life is to worship Allah, then the way we deal with people has to be a part of that. It has to be part of our ibadah. It has to be a part of gaining Allah's pleasure. Because how we treat people also, right, is going to impact on our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to treat His creation, Allah's creation, with kindness, with love, with compassion, with understanding. And so when Allah has put these people into our lives, whoever they might be, and now I renew my niyyah, if you can renew your niyyah, is that, yes, I have this person in my life, but I am going to do everything to the best of my ability to be a wife, to be a mother, to be a daughter, to be whatever role Allah has placed upon me. I am doing that for the pleasure of Allah. So it's about changing the mindset. Changing the mindset in that we don't see it as a job, we don't see it as a drudgery, we don't see it as a calamity in our lives, but whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in my life and whatever situation I find myself in, this is from my Allah, and all of this must take me closer to Allah, and all of this must be my means of earning my akhirah. So if we can just start with that, if we can start with the niyyah, because when the niyyah is right, and then we work towards fulfilling that niyyah, and fulfilling the purpose for which we have been created, and to be pleasing to Allah, to gain His pleasure, to work for our akhirah, then we will find it will be easy for us to deal with all of the things that we have to deal with in our life. We will be able to take it and look at it, analyze it, find, yes, we have to find, that doesn't mean you just sit with problems. You have to find solutions, you have to make effort, and put in the effort into the relationship also, and realize that we all have a role to play. Because sometimes we rely on the husband. My marriage would be so much better if my husband did this or my husband was like that. But we can't wait for somebody else to do anything. We have to be proactive. We have to take the steps. We have to say, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to make my marriage better? When we do that, and if we say that, and we say, what do I have to do? And I have to do, again, taking it back to my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do I have to do to make this marriage better for the pleasure of Allah? Then that will be our motivation to make changes in our life, to do what we have to do, to not rely on the husband to change, but that we ourselves can make the relevant changes to make things better. So it's turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing is our niyyah. The second thing is dua. Is that we constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that ease, to give us the afiyah, to give us the peace and contentment. And inshallah, in future programs, we can talk about how to have and achieve that inner peace, peace within ourselves, and give that off to the people who are around us. And so we constantly make dua and constantly stay in the remembrance and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then thirdly is to make the effort to bring about the changes, to do what we have to do. Say, okay, let me sit down, let me look, let me analyze my marriage, let me see how my husband is, let me see his temperament, his behavior, his mood. How can I and what do I have to do to bring about the changes in the home? What do I have to do? And why do I have to do that? Because I'm doing this for Allah's pleasure. I want Allah to be pleased with me. And I can look at my life and say my life is so miserable and my life is so unhappy and whatever. But then I must look at things in its perspective and say, okay, maybe there is something that I can do differently. But I need Allah's help. And I need Allah's guidance to do what is right. And sometimes to even say the right things within the marriage. And we need Allah's help for that. And Allah is there. Allah says He is close to you. He never leaves you. Sometimes the woman feels so alone within a relationship. And she feels unloved. But she needs to know that if she has Allah, she has everything. She really has everything. And Allah is always with her. And Allah never leaves her. And Allah is all seeing and all hearing and all knowing. And every bit of pain, every bit of heartache, every bit of hurt that she's going through, Allah is aware. Allah knows what you are feeling. He knows what is in your heart. He knows the tears that you shed. But you turn to Him and you ask Him for help. And you ask Him for guidance. And you ask Him for strength. To do what you have to do in order to be your best and to give of your best as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, in whatever role, you do the best that you can with the resources that Allah has given you, and you know that your reward lies with Allah. Ultimately, this world and the time in this world is very short. It's very short. But yes. Allah, in His mercy, because He knows our own weaknesses, and He knows that with our ibadah and how lax we might be, that we cannot attain those high stages in Jannah. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us difficulties. He gives us hardships. He gives us these situations within our life so that we can
Yes, Jazakumullahu khairan, Mu'allim Abida, and we hope to have you in our future programs as well, discussing the different angles of the marriage.
Ji, inshallah.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, that was Mu'allima Abirat speaking to us about marriage, the forgotten ibadah, and there will be a weekly slot, inshallah, focusing on different issues with regards to marriage. With that, we come to the end of the program this morning. From myself, Ibrahim Daya, and our studio operator this morning, Hafiz Hanzala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.